भगवद्गीता 1.13 ततः शङ्खाश्च धैर्यश्च पणवानकगो मुखः सहसैवाभ्यहन्यन्त सशब्दस्तु मुलो भवात्। ततः कम्स देयर आफ्टर, आफ्टर व्हाट, आफ्टर भीष्मा ब्लू हिज कॉन्स शेल टू सिग्नल द कमेंसमेंट ऑफ हॉस्टिलिटीज। सो आफ्टर डिड दैट and he blow your conch shell, now the primary signal for the commencement of hostility was the blowing of conch shell. But that is this primary. There are others also, which are secondary. They are also mentioned in this verse. So, shankhasya, so when he blew his conch shell, other warriors also blew their conch shell. Apart from that, the warrior, the war was almost like a sporting event. Now, unlike a sporting event, in the war the stakes were high. There could be death for those who would be defeated. But then the warriors knew to some extent that actually that there was an imperishable side to them and that they would go to heaven if they laid their life for the sake of virtue. Now, so in that sense there was celebratory mood for the war. So the kings knew that even if they died in the battle, they would go to heavens, and because of heroic death, they would attain a worthy destination in heaven. And that's why when they would start the war, they would not just have, as the warfare is often nowadays, people are in outposts where often they're struggling for food and water. And they're just fearful guerrilla warfare. Somebody may attack from somewhere at any moment and overpower. And often nature is as much a danger as is the enemy. But here they had chosen a place, a designated place, and the war would be fought only at that place. And the war would be fought between specific times, and after those times would be over, then even they could go over to each other's side and they could talk as friends. Just like when now India and Pakistan may have a very fierce rivalry in cricket. But sometimes after the match is over, after they've gone out of the sporting stadium, then they would, and then the players may interact as friends. So like that here, there is a celebratory mood that is indicated, and then not just the warriors' conches are being blown, but there are kettle drums, shankhascha, bhairyascha, kettle drums are there. And these are not, kettle drums are not blown by the warriors, they have their assistants. It was not just the warriors who were there in the tent, the warriors often were kings, so they had their attendants, and there were doctors, and there were servants, and practically when a war would take place, there would be a whole city that would be built on the outskirts of the war, on the periphery of the battlefield, so to serve the warriors. Panavanaka go mukha. So Panavanaka. Panava is symbol, the hand symbol that we use in kirtans, something similar. Anaka. So these specific words can sometimes have different translations. Anaka can refer to drum. Anakadandubhi is the name of Vasudev because the drums were blown when he was born. Go mukha. Now, go, often we use the word here to mean, normally to mean cow, and go mukha. Actually, what it refers here as go is bull horns, a specific kind of horns, which are called as bull horns. Sahasaiva bhyahanyanta. Sahasa means suddenly, all of a sudden, just one conch shell was blown, and sometimes the chain reaction sort of thing. If in a college campus there are say 50 cycles kept next to each other, and one cycle falls, and like dominoes falling, all others start falling. So suddenly one conch shell was blown by Bhishma and immediately everyone else started blowing. So there was relate, although it is a war setting, because two major warriors had been discussing, there was a relative silence. Not complete silence, obviously. Relative silence was there. But suddenly, once the first conch shell was blown, and suddenly a huge sound started, Sahasaiva Abhyahanyanta. So the sound became, because all these objects were sounded, Sashabdas Tumulo Bhavat, and Tumulo, the tumultuous sound over there. And that was, in one sense, we could say from a positive point of view, festival of sound. In a negative sense, we could say a riot of sound. But either way, there was tumultuous sound, and the sound indicated that now the war was about to begin. And the Bhagavad Gita is itself a philosophical book, but it gives through its first chapter a succinct depiction of the culture with which war took place at that time. So here, in this was a celebratory mood by which the war was fought more as a sport, and it was meant to also be, like sports are meant to be played in the sporting spirit. So the war was also meant to be fought in a sporting spirit, and that's why there would be war codes which were expected to be followed. And here the warriors are not paranoid. Oh, I may die over here. What will happen to me? Yes, they are human beings, and all human beings naturally have a fear of death. But these are human beings, or honorable human beings, and they consider their honor more important than their life. And that's why they are excited, stimulated, that now they have, most of these warriors have spent years and years and years training themselves to become skilled, adept, expert at warfare. And now they have an opportunity to exhibit those skills. So the sounds indicate the mood, and they also set the mood. Actually, in every human activity which is done on the mass scale, there are certain rituals, and those rituals actually stimulate certain emotions as well as express those emotions. So for example, I say nowadays a national army may have its own national anthem, and not only national anthem, we have a national flag, and then we have a particular way of marching and then saluting, and all this, what does it do? These are, in one sense, the rituals of nationalism. Rituals are not limited to warfare, limited to religion. Actual rituals pervade all aspects of human life, human culture, because they bring structure and recognition to patterns of human behavior. So when we meet a person, naturally we extend hand and shake hands. Why? Because that's the way we greet, in a civil, respectable way. If there were no such ritual of shaking hands, we would not know how would we greet each other. So of course some others may fold hands, and that's also a different ritual, but that's the important point, it is the rituals. So the rituals are not just to be rejected as sentimental or meaningless. We have to find out what is the sentiment and what is the meaning behind the rituals, and then see whether that particular sentiment and meaning is valid, and whether it is being served by those rituals. So here, the blowing of not just the conch shell but all the other instruments, at one level it conveys that the warriors are eager to fight, and it conveys the celebratory mood. At another level, it also is meant to stimulate that mood, that now the war is going to start. Certain sounds kindle certain memories. So for example, there might be certain patriotic songs which might heard in childhood, and when we hear them again, we feel patriotic sentiments rising in our heart. So similarly, different sounds, they stimulate certain emotions. So here these sounds are meant to stimulate the warriors to fight wholeheartedly, to stimulate their martial spirit, and to help them perform to the best of their ability. Sahasa, it happened suddenly, because suddenly a conversation was going on, and now a tumultuous sound came up. So, till now, the action on the side of the Kauravas has been described. Duryodhana's approaching Drona and then speaking to Drona, and then Bhishma's blowing a conchal, and then the others blowing appropriate sounds. And now from the next verse, the focus will shift to the Pandava side. And for the first time in the Bhagavad Gita, the two conversationists who are going to play such an important part for the rest of the Gita, who are going to be whose talk is going to comprise the more than 95% of the Gita, they are going to appear. For the Supreme Lord's appearance is going to happen for the first time in the Gita in the next verse. That we'll discuss in our next session. Thank you.